Have you asked yourself, who am I now that things have changed? Or what's next? Or why does it feel like something is missing? Do you know what you want? If so, what's holding you back? Maybe you feel stuck and wish you could get out of your own way. You're not alone. You'll get insight from every angle on these topics and more on the Tips for the Transition, the Career Roadmap podcast. Every week, you can learn the tips and proven techniques to get you out of that rut and feel more confident and resilient. So join us and eavesdrop on our conversations. Hello and welcome. This is Tips for the Transition, the Career Roadmap, and I'm Maria Tomas Keegan. I created this show, we're in our sixth season, to share resources that help women to navigate career and life challenges and to know that they're not alone. So each week, I invite a guest to come on with me and co-create a show to encourage women to be more confident, resilient, and brave in their careers and their lives. So if you're inspired by anything you hear today, I want you to subscribe, comment, share, tell us what you think, and check out the show notes below so that you can connect with my guest and me. So let me ask you a question. What does it mean to have grit? Our next guest, Danielle Kobo, will help us discover what it takes, the benefits of it, having it, and the roadblocks that stand in our way of showing up with grit successfully. Danielle is a sought-after speaker who works with audience to develop grit, resilience, and courage to thrive in a rapidly changing market. She's an author, a podcast host, and has many years of corporate leadership experience building high-performing, productive sales teams. She's led teams through downsizing, restructuring, and acquisitions, earning many awards for sales excellence in a male-dominated industry. I think many of us know what that feels like. Danielle did all of this while balancing between the single parent for her energetic twin boys as her husband, God bless him, served our country in Iraq as a Black Hawk pilot. So this lady is a role model for having grit, and she'll shed some light on what that means in today's show. So join me in welcoming Danielle Kobo. Hello, Danielle.
Hello. Thank you for having me on the show.
It is my pleasure. Thanks for joining us. So let's just get into it. Let's set some context for this conversation. I'd love for you to define for us what you mean by having grit.
Well, grit is when passion meets purpose, dedication takes action, and when setbacks occur, grit is a refusal to give up and be in alignment with your vision. That is my definition of what grit is. It's a little bit of a take on what Angela Duckworth had defined, which is passion and purpose, passion and perseverance towards long-term goal. But I kind of tweaked it a little bit to take it a step further.
Okay, so let's break that up. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about, you know, the passion and purpose part. And the next part. So I think you had like three different segments there. Mm-hmm. Can we break that up? Let's talk about each one a little bit.
Absolutely. So the first is when passion meets purpose. In order to have grit, it's important that we have a sense of purpose when we're going towards achieving a particular goal. So when I think of, if you have a particular goal that you want to achieve, maybe it's to get promoted within your organization, it's to get a new job, to start a business. Where's that underlying passion behind it? Where's the purpose as to why you're pursuing that goal? Because if you don't know the why,
yeah,
it's going to be really hard to pursue something if you don't have that passion and purpose and why behind it. Yeah. And when I think about goal setting and the grit to achieve your goals, it's not a matter of what goal do you want to achieve? It's why do you want to achieve it? And who do you get to be when you achieve that goal? So I say passion and purpose.
I love that. Who do you get to be That's so powerful right there. Who do you get to be when you achieve the goal and the reason why you achieve it? I love that. All right. What's the second part of
Okay, when dedication takes action. So I see a lot of people out there that will set goals. It'll be the beginning of the year and they set their goals. And within 90 days, 87% of people don't even achieve their goals. And it's because they haven't put the action in place. And I'll give an example of the other day. I woke up the other day and I just did not have the motivation to go work out. And it happens to all of us. Some days we're really motivated and some days we aren't. And I remember just laying in bed and kind of thinking of that Mel Robbins, count back 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And then I took it a step further and said, I can lean into the comfort of what it is right now to sleep in, or I can take action and envision what the results are going to look like when I put that action in place and stay dedicated to my goal. So that's why I say dedication takes action.
Nothing happens until we do something, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think many of us forget that. You know, we have all these great visions and we're thinking positively about them, but it takes getting off our butts sometimes, stepping outside of that zone of comfort we often get into, like lying in bed in the morning. Yeah. But until we put some action behind it, nothing really happens.
Mm-hmm. And it takes putting an action and being dedicated to that action.
Yeah.
So yeah. If you want to achieve a particular goal, let's say your particular goal is you want to increase your muscle mass in your body or reduce the fat percentage in your body or go for a particular sales goal, it's going to take that dedication and putting that action in every single day and being committed to that action.
Yeah. Yeah. Perseverance, determination, dedication. Yep. All right. What's the third one again?
So when setbacks test us, grit is a refusal to give up. Grit is when we're going to face challenges in our career, our professional life, our personal life. And it's easy to give up and just say, well, this isn't working or I can't do this. But it's in those moments that we push through and we continue to go after what we want, where we learn and where we grow. There's always going to be setbacks. There's going to be times, and I would say that it's not failure. If you look at failure and saying, I just failed, or do I look at failure and say, I'm either going to learn and grow from this or I'm not. And that's why I say when setbacks occur, it's, or they test us, it's the refusal to give up and keep going.
So important, isn't it? Mm-hmm. I talk a lot about being stuck with my clients. And that's the opposite, right, mm-hmm. of staying stuck, is that refusal to give up. Love that. All right, so let's talk about what some of the most common roadblocks are that stand in our way of achieving our goals. Mm-hmm. What keeps us stuck? What are those common roadblocks?
The common roadblocks, so in my book, Unstoppable Grit, I talk about breaking through the 7 roadblocks between standing between us and our achieving our goals. And the 7 roadblocks are imposter syndrome, resistance to change, fear of the unknown or uncertainty, fear of judgment, what people think of us, hometown blues, financial security, and perfectionism. So those are the 7 roadblocks, and we can break them down from there.
Yeah, let's do a little bit of a breakdown. Just talk about what you mean by those things.
So imposter syndrome can happen in a variety of ways when it comes to our career. So let's say, for example, you want to pursue a promotion and you're going into a high-level C-suite position. I see a lot of women experience this and they start to have that imposter syndrome. Well, I don't know if I'm qualified for that particular role. I don't know if I have the right skill sets. We almost put people that are in a particular high-level role, maybe they're already in a VP role or a COO or CEO position, and we put them on a pedestal sometimes. And we get to get that imposter syndrome thinking, well, I'm not as qualified as that individual is. And we forget to think that everybody started somewhere, right? That you weren't born, that individual that you see over there that you think is more qualified than you, they weren't born into a CEO position. They worked their way up just like anybody else is working their way up. And instead of thinking of, I'm going into a C-suite position, but I don't have C-suite experience, well, what experience do you do have and skill sets that you have that translate into that next role? How have you prepared and taken the steps to develop new skill sets to transition into this new role? If you're thinking about starting a business, a lot of times women will start to say, well, I don't have the right qualifications for that particular role or the right credentials or experience, but we negate all the experience that we had before. I know that when I started helping people with career consulting and in teaching them how to prepare for interviews and how to get promoted into new positions, I kind of had that imposter syndrome in the beginning. I'm like, who am I to call myself a career consultant? And I negated the fact that I had 15 years corporate experience, 7 years leading a team for a Fortune 500 company, 7 years as a hiring manager and building high performing teams. And we forget sometimes all of the experience that we've gained over the years to prepare us for this next step that we're taking in our career. So that is imposter syndrome.
Yeah. Yeah. That's so common, mm-hmm. especially for women, and especially as they move further up the ladder.
Yeah. And I would say, you know what? I see it in men too. I know that a lot of times we say, I think women are probably a little bit more vocal about it sometimes because we tend to be a little more vulnerable. But I work with a lot of men and they have it too, but they kind of like whisper it to me. They say it in different ways. I'm like, okay, you have imposter syndrome. Like that's what we're dealing with right now. And this is what we get to work through. So I think that we get to break that misconception too. And I will say it as well is a lot of women, we believe that this is a woman thing. A lot of us suffer from imposter syndrome, but a lot of men do too. They're just not as vocal about it.
Well, that could be very true. I can see that. Thanks for sharing that, because there are probably a lot of women out there who hear that and say, oh, okay, so I'm really not alone.
No, really not alone. I work with a lot of men that, you know, will definitely say, well, I don't know if I'm qualified for that position. I'm like, wait a minute here. I see it a lot in the military too.
Yeah.
In the military. This is my job title in the military. Therefore, it does not translate into the civilian world. And I say, well, let's talk about what your roles and responsibilities were in that particular role that translate into the role that you're applying to in the civilian sector.
And just breaking it down into the hard and soft skills that are eminently translatable.
Absolutely. When I was a hiring manager for a sales team, a lot of hiring managers sought out years of experience. And I think that there's value in having years of experience and a proven track record of success. What I looked for were certain characteristics, which was grit, resilience, determination, problem-solving skills, because I can teach you products, services, the operations of our organization. What I can't teach you is to wake up every single morning and have the self-drive and motivation to go and hit your quota.
Right, right. Yeah, those skills that we amass along the way cannot be ignored, or we are literally shooting ourselves in the foot. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right, what's the next one?
Okay, the next one is resistance to change. Our minds naturally resist change. It's very common. We like to be in the comfort zone. And the reason being is there's a lot of uncertainty with change. And when uncertainty happens, we start to make assumptions of what could or could not happen or take place. And there's risk with there's involved when there's change. There's always going to be a risk associated to it. Maybe you're looking to get promoted into a new position within your organization. Well, there's a risk associated with going into that new position. Am I going to excel at that position? Am I not? Is it a right fit for me? Am I going to enjoy my position? Maybe you're in a toxic work environment with a company and you're saying, I want to leave, but I don't know, am I going to have that same experience at another company? And that might cause some resistance to change. Resistance is very common. As I mentioned, our minds start to fill in the blanks when we don't have all of the information. And so I think that it's important in those moments when you're resisting any types of change, get out a piece of paper and let's write down all the what ifs. Okay, well, what if it didn't work out? What could possibly happen? What would I do in that particular situation? So you're always going in with a plan. And then remember that fear is false evidence appearing real. So I'm going to say that again. Fear is false evidence appearing real. A lot of times those what ifs never even happen. So we spend so much time with our mind consumed with worry of events that don't even happen. So by not making changes, we're just staying, as you had mentioned, stuck. And that's not serving us either.
Mm-mm. No, and understanding what the pros and cons in those what if scenarios is an important thing, you know, how calculating kind of the risk. And some people are risk averse. Mm-hmm. And it takes grit, right? Mm-hmm. And courage, mm-hmm, to take a leap, what might feel like a big leap. But if the situation you're in is intolerable, mm-hmm, then making some kind of change will serve you best, and it's probably required.
Yeah, I agree.
I hesitate to say that, but yeah. Probably
and
inspired.
And what you're saying is it's some of us are risk adverse, and I get that. I've historically been known to be risk adverse. I would have never thought about leaving the safety net of a corporate world to start a business. Yeah. And I let those what ifs consume me. And what I eventually found out was, okay, I can leave corporate and I can try to pursue something that I'm very passionate about that serves a deeper purpose and in fulfilling life and making an impact. And if I fail at it, well, what would happen then? Well, I can go back to corporate. There's always an option. But I'll never know unless I try.
Right. You know, I meet so many people who feel like this next decision is their last. Mm. And when they look at it that way, it will keep you stuck because there are so many things that could go wrong but what about the things that could go right? Right? It's a shift in perspective that will help you make that change and know that it's not your last decision. It is never your last decision. There's always the opportunity to make a different one, right? So you can pivot. You can take another path. You can look at the situation at the time and look back and say, okay, so I made the decision based on the best information I had at the time. Now what?
Mm-hmm. Oh, you make such a great point about that. And that decision may be perfect at the time now, maybe not in the future. So we can make a decision to go one direction now and then change our mind in the future, just depending on life circumstances.
Right. And that's, you know, adapting to change, right? As things change, as we evolve. Mm-hmm. And adapting to that. And you know, with grit, I think it absolutely plays into it. Mm-hmm. Making those shifts and changes and allowing yourself to be okay with that. Mm-hmm. You know, with the idea that nothing stays the same.
No, nothing.
Nothing. You know, think about that. Nothing stays the same. So we're always in this cycle of change. So, you know, adapting to it, embracing it, and figuring out how you want to approach it, I think is critical. Yeah. Okay, next one.
So next one is the fear of the unknown. And this kind of goes into the fear of change. The fear of the unknown is, and I see this a lot of time in corporate. So you are with an organization and maybe you're really happy where you're at, but you don't see the opportunity to grow up within the organization. Maybe that's potentially a position that you want to pursue. Maybe you want to pursue a leadership position, but the way that the organization is set up, those positions may not be available for several years, just the tenure of the people that are in those roles. And so the fear of the unknown is those what ifs of another company. Possibly is, well, am I going to like my boss? Am I going to like the company? It strolls into those what ifs. And when we have the fear of the unknown, then we fear the change. So they go hand in hand very well together. I wouldn't say well in the sense of they go hand in hand.
Yeah.
They kind of feed into each other, I would say. Right. Both can be roadblocks that are standing between us and achieving our goals. And I think what you had said, which is instead of thinking of the what ifs in the sense of worrying of what could go wrong, let's think of the what ifs as what could go right. What if you loved the company that you were working for? What if the company had more career opportunities, better benefits? You loved the manager that you were working for. What would happen if you got to develop new skill sets in that particular role? I think sometimes also too, changing industries can be feel very daunting at times too, because you feel like you're starting all over again. But the reality is you're not starting all over again. You have those transferable skill sets. You're just applying them into a different industry.
Right.
And I had a wonderful mentor, Amber Brown, who she's a general manager of a pharmaceutical company. And when she was sharing her career background, she had said that she had worked in a variety of different industries that were completely unrelated and entirely unrelated, but she was able to see the operations from all these different industries and what they did well and what they didn't do well. And she was able to take all the great of each of these industries and bring them into each company that she pursued. I thought that was such valuable advice.
That
embracing that change, embrace that unknown, because it could really excel your career.
You know, the thing is, Danielle, we're never going to make that change without doing our due diligence, right? So the what ifs, what if I don't like my boss? What if you're going to go through a series of interviews? What if the company is, the culture of the company is not what I'm looking for? Well, you're going to do your research in advance of making that big decision. So again, you're going to arm yourself with information upon which you can make that decision. Does this company align with my values? You're going to ask some questions to gather that information so that you know that that's a yes or a no.
Yeah.
So, you know, I want everyone to, the fear of the unknown is real. Absolutely. You're right. It goes hand in hand with a number of other fears I can think of. but, you know, they do play off each other. But you're not going to make decisions lightly. And you're going to arm yourself with the kind of information you need to make a sound decision based on that information. So I think it's so much wiser to think of the what ifs from a positive perspective, because you're going to gather information that makes you feel good about the decision you make.
Yeah. And there's also too, I mean, working in the medical industry, the medical sales industry, I've also learned that change is always going to happen, even the company that you're in.
Yeah.
So while I was with one company for 7 years, we went through an attempted hostile takeover from a competitor. A competitor attempted to do a hostile takeover over our organization. We acquired companies. We sold divisions. We went through layoffs. We went through expansions. I had multiple managers. I lost half of my team in one day and had absolutely no idea what was happening because the leadership team decided not to tell us until the end of the day. So change is inevitable, even when we think that there's safety in the role in the company that we're in. You never know what tomorrow is going to bring.
That's true. That's so true. Having been laid off suddenly, my entire global team and I, it can come out of the blue. There can be no warning at all. Mm-hmm. It's happening a lot today. Unfortunately, we're hearing stories of companies laying people off, you know, with an email. I mean, you just have to be. So what does that mean? We have to prepare ourselves mentally and financially, emotionally, for anything to happen. And that's hard to do. You can't play what if game with that, right?
Yeah.
But that requires the building up of resilience, knowing how you want to bounce back, knowing who you want to be, back to your point, in a situation like that. How do you want to show up for that, if that were to happen? Mm-hmm. Just decide. And then maybe it'll never happen for you. Or maybe it will, like it did for you, like it did for me, like it does for so many. Mm-hmm. How do you want to show up?
Yeah. And I for those moments that, you know, the best investment you can make is in yourself and in your personal brand. And so when you think about in preparation, always preparing for that next step, for something that possibly may or may not happen, if you take the time to invest in understanding what are your core values, what are your beliefs, how does that align with your professional brand, how do you want to show up, and not only in person and in what you're doing in your day to day and the interactions you have with people, how are you showing up online? LinkedIn, if you do a really good job of investing in your brand on LinkedIn, opportunities will be presented to you so that in that moment, let's say the division gets eliminated, gets sold off for whatever reason, or you find yourself in a toxic work environment. If you've done your due diligence and investing in your professional brand on LinkedIn, you will be able to bounce back stronger.
Right. And you will have a network of people who can help you do that because you've made meaningful connections and relationships. Yeah. It's a great tool. Absolutely.
So the next one is the fifth one is hometown blues. And I say hometown blues because I remember a time. So my husband had joined 8 months after we got married, at the age of 32 years old, my husband decided to sell his business. So he had just graduated from his MBA program. He had launched a business. It was very successful. We get married. 8 months after we get married, he says, "I want to join the military." I don't want you to join the military. And the fear came from, I had been in my career for 10 years. I had just bought a house right before we had gotten married. I was very happy where I was at. I didn't want to move away from my friends, my family, that comfort of where I was. And I know a lot of people will maybe not go for, well, I will say this. He ended up joining the military, and it ended up, we moved to Alabama for a year and a half so he can do flight school for, he's a Black Hawk pilot in the Army. And then we ended up moving to Florida. So I had no intention on leaving California when we got married, but we ended up here in Florida. And I know that a lot of times when people are thinking about pursuing opportunities, sometimes they pursue opportunities only in the backyard. Now, I acknowledge they turned six this week. I have 6-year-old twin boys. I'm probably going to be a little bit, I may not make the decision to move now because of the age that they're at and their school that they're in. Plus, my in-laws live across the street from me. So that's like amazing to be across the street from me. They were instrumental when my husband was deployed. But I do encourage people to be open to exploring living in different areas. I would have never imagined going from Orange County, California, Newport Beach, Laguna Beach, to living in a very small town where the world's largest statue of a bug is, called the boll weevil in Enterprise, Alabama. But I'm so glad I did, because it's what also brought me to Florida, and it's opened up a whole nother horizons as to what possibilities are out there just by being open to moving and living in different areas and meeting different people and living different lifestyles. So I'm really glad that I did, but I know that I did suffer from those hometown blues of I'm only going to be pursue promotions in my backyard.
Yeah.
And even though I'm a little maybe resistant a little bit to moving anywhere right now, just because the age that my kids are at. But if a really good opportunity came about, I wouldn't completely shut the door on it, because my kids are resilient too.
Absolutely. Absolutely. They are. But you're making that choice based on your why at the moment, right? It's important. Your kids are important to you. Their welfare is important to you. Uprooting them is not what you want to do right now. So it's all based on your why today. And it changes.
Yeah.
So I love that you said that you have been and you are open. Because I think that is it's something that a lot of women I work with struggle with, is being open to the possibilities. I never imagined at this stage of my life that I would be caregiver for my husband, who is unable to, you know, walk or stand for any length of time. So we're pretty much sequestered here at our home. I never imagined that. So the opportunities for me to go out and speak, travel and speak, they're not available to me. But there are other opportunities that are open to me that I can do remotely. And exploring all of those possibilities helps to keep us vibrant and growing and thriving within the situation we find ourselves in, rather than feeling like we're burdened or we're stuck. So being open is so, so important.
Yeah. Especially when you're working for an organization, the higher you go up, the less positions there typically are, the higher you go up, because you're overseeing more people. So if you're going into these C-suite positions, then you're either going to be in a situation where maybe it's open in your backyard. Fantastic. Great. Go for it. Or it's going to be looking at other organizations or living in different areas. Sometimes the higher you go. So the more open you are to living in different areas, the more doors will open up for you.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. Was that the last one?
We got two more.
Okay. I've lost count.
I know. There's a lot of them. This is probably more. We'll narrow it down to seven. Financial scarcity is a big one too. And I know that this is a big roadblock, especially for people that are transitioning out of the corporate world and possibly going into owning their own business. So that financial scarcity of leaving, and this was a situation I dealt with. I left a six-figure salary, commission, company car, 401k benefits, stock options. I had an amazing compensation package. So to take that risk and say, I'm going to leave that and I'm going to start a business from scratch, from zero. And there's a lot of risks that's involved with taking that leap of faith. And it takes time to build a business. But if you, and you had mentioned this before, you know, do your due diligence of mapping out a plan, do your due diligence of saving so that you have a cushion to pull from. That did also very help because I knew that it was going to take time to build a business. And also, how do you define success? A lot of times I tied my success to the title position I had, the awards that I was earning, my income that I was making. But when I started to redefine success and what it meant to me, I cannot put a price on what happiness is to me right now. And the fulfillment that I get out of helping people achieve their career goals, whether it's helping them earn President's Club and be a top performer for the first time in their career, get promoted into new roles, whether it is speaking on stage and seeing these like transformations in their face and seeing these light bulbs going off of the possibility that's available to them, that to me, I cannot put a price on. And I've thought about it over and over and over again, those moments where I experience self-doubt and I'm saying, did I make the right move? I go back and I go, you know what? I did, because it takes time to build. It's not going to happen overnight. Don't compare your step 2 to somebody's step 12. But if you're always in alignment with your purpose and you're putting that dedication, you're taking action on it, you will achieve the financial goals that you want. It's when you're not in alignment and you're doing it from a place of financial scarcity, or you're doing it in a place where you're looking at more from the income than it is making a purpose, it's not going to settle right with the type of people that you're interacting with. So that's why I say financial scarcity is definitely a roadblock that a lot of us will kind of hinder us from doing that. I would also say too, financial scarcity is making, and I see a lot of entrepreneurs do this, scared to make investments in their own business and invest right. in their self.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. 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 I think you nailed that one, in that you have to, the decisions you make have to be based on what you value most now, right? And our values shift as things. You went from being a single woman just buying her own home to marrying a guy who then decided to join the service at a very high level, right? Black Hawk pilot, and then having twins, right? You could have let all of that hold you back, mm-hmm. right? Those are all mm-hmm. reasons not to do something risky.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The day that my husband told me, the day that he told me he received orders to be deployed to Iraq for an entire year, I looked at him and I said, I have to quit my job. I thought that that was the only option. And I was devastated. I broke down in tears. Yeah. I loved my job. And I just completely broke down. And then I came to this realization that I'm already quitting on myself before I even try. What would it look like if I tried and just took it day by day?
Yeah.
And I took the steps, and I go into this in the book on the different steps I take, but I'll be mindful of our time. But, you know, I looked at ways that I could balance my schedule and ask for help and bring in support systems and take it day by day. And I had active conversations with my team, my manager, my family, and it was all hands on deck that year. Yeah. But not only did I survive that year, I thrived that year. And it's because of that year that I learned the tools to be able to teach how to prevent and overcome burnout. I think that don't quit on yourself before you even start. Go after what you want.
That is such a valuable tip that you just laid on us. Don't quit on yourself. It's so easy to do. Mm-hmm. But having that support system that you created around you is something that everyone needs. Mm-hmm. You know, this is never a time, regardless of what it is you're trying to do, it's never a time to do it alone. That's not how we're designed. Mm-mm. So, you know, don't push back on the design, right? Mm-hmm. Embrace it and embrace the support that you need. Decide what kind of support you need and go seek it out. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. I love that.
We got one more.
Oh, okay.
One more. Perfectionism, and I'll make it quick. But perfectionism.
You're talking to a recovering perfectionist here.
Yeah, it's same here. I say I'm recovering. This is a recovering. Perfectionism is procrastination in disguise. Perfectionism, I see them all the time. I'll apply for that job when my resume is perfect. I will start my business when my website is perfect. I will pursue that promotion once I've developed XYZ skills, when everything's perfect. Yeah. Perfect is procrastination in disguise. And think of it not being perfect. Think of everything as pivots and refinement. Pivots and refinement. So maybe you apply to the job and you realize, ooh, the feedback that I got from that particular hiring manager was I needed to develop these particular skill sets. Okay, I'm going to add these skill sets. I'm going to refine them. I'm going to grow and I'm going to reapply. Your business, as you're evolving and you're starting to think about the different clients you enjoy working with, the different clients maybe you not enjoy working with. This is a constant conversation that we have amongst entrepreneurs, which is you're constantly refining, refining, pivoting, and refining as your business grows and as you grow as an individual. So the last one is perfectionism.
Yep. Perfectionism. Perfection is procrastination in disguise. Love that. That's great. I wrote that one down. I have to remember that. Mm-hmm. That's a great way to describe it because that's exactly what it is. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, you have just shared with us so many wonderful concepts about some of the roadblocks that can hold us back from experiencing, right, the grit and the courage that it requires to change in our lives. So I would love to just wrap this up in a bow and ask you, we call the show Tips for the Transition for a reason. I'd love to ask you just to give us some key takeaways that if we remember nothing else, what are the top three things we need to remember, Danielle?
Top three things is define what your purpose is. Because in order to achieve a goal, you've got to think about what your purpose is. What is the why behind achieving that goal? Who do you get to be when you achieve that goal? And how does that align with your core values and your beliefs? And if you don't necessarily sometimes know, ask the people around you. What do they see in you that maybe you don't see in yourself? Think about the type of lifestyle that you want to live, the type of person that you want to show up with, the type of friend that you want to be. One of the exercises that I did when I was really defining what my purpose is I started to think about what my legacy that I want to leave behind is. And I wrote my own obituary. It's kind of an interesting exercise, but it was so valuable because I got to really hone in and think of what type of impact and legacy do I want to leave. And when you truly understand what your purpose and your passion is, that's when you can take action and that's when you can develop the grit to succeed and achieve your goals.
That's an amazing wrap up. Thank you. There are so many great nuggets of information, insight, and actionable items in this conversation. So I really thank you so much for sharing your wisdom, Danielle. This has been a great conversation.
Well, thank you for having me. I've enjoyed our conversation as well.
Good. So I know other people are going to want to get in touch with you. Tell us what is the one best way for them to do that.
Best way is to connect with me on LinkedIn. So I'm definitely on LinkedIn, Danielle Kobo, my website, daniellekobo.com. Subscribe to my email and I'll be sharing some tips on how to develop the grit, resilience, and courage to go after what you want.
That's fabulous. Again, thank you so much for being here. I appreciate it. And for everyone who is listening and watching, I want to thank you for being a part of this community. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe, comment, click a star. Let us know what you think and how you feel about it. And if there are other topics you'd like us to cover, let us know that too. And as I said at the top of the show, I love creating and sharing resources for women. Plus, as a career and life coach, I work with women to help them navigate challenging times more gracefully. So if something in this episode resonates with you and you'd like to continue the conversation, I invite you to join my private Facebook group called the Career Transition Roadmap, the link for which will be in the show notes below, along with the links, all of Danielle's other links as well. So take a look at those. So I'd love to invite you to meet me here again next week, same time, same place, because I think it's our time to thrive. So let's thrive together. Until next time, I'm Maria Tomas Keegan, helping you turn transition into triumph.